Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. I think this next guest and story is going to be extremely interesting. We've had a number of authors on this show over the last 10 years, but none quite like this. There's a new book that is going to be released tomorrow. It's called The Wax Pack, On the Open Road in Search of Baseball's Afterlife. It's written by Brad Balukjian, and he is joining us right now over the phone to talk about not only the inspiration for this story, but how it all came together. Brad, first off, it's a pleasure. I appreciate the time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to this conversation because, well, your story, your book, it is so unique. I've never heard anything like it. So let me get this straight. You came across a pack of 1986 Topps baseball cards that was sealed. You opened it and decided to track down each player in that pack.
Yeah, and to be fair, it wasn't completely serendipitous. I mean, I had the idea, having collected cards from that era, that we really need to get a pack that had never been opened and use that pack as sort of the device to figure out, you know, what happens to these guys after they're done playing, the guys that I grew up watching. So I ended up getting a pack that had never been opened before, and then that was sort of, I said, okay, whatever. You know, just like you're playing cards and you get a hand dealt to you, whatever hand is dealt, that's what you got to play. That was the device for how to kickstart the book project.
It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And I think so many people can relate to this because who didn't collect baseball cards as a kid, right? Everybody did.
Exactly. No, it's a generational thing. I mean, I call, you know, baseball, I'm 39 years old right now. So, you know, my generation, my era, our iPhone was baseball cards, right? I mean, that's what we spent our time staring at and poring over.
We hit these days with no sports going on. I've been kind of trying to dissect and find new things that we can talk about. And one of the things that I collected as a kid, it was starting lineups, right? And the idea behind a starting lineup was to make a 3D card, something that was actually there. It was living. So when you talk about baseball cards becoming the iPhone, that resonates, right? And you decided to take a pack of baseball cards and turn it into real life. So to me, this is the ultimate starting lineup.
Yeah, it's a good point that, I mean, the starting lineup figures, I mean, all of that just goes to this idea that, I mean, you're taking these, you have these objects, the cards, the figures that represent these people, and we sometimes forget that they're like real people, right? That, you know, because as kids, we sort of see them as these larger-than-life kind of gods, and I think one of the really neat things for me about writing this book and taking this journey, because I drove 11,000 miles in 7 weeks to find all these guys, was it kind of, in a very satisfying, comforting way, kind of demystified that hero complex that we give to these guys. And in the sense that I finished the book and they're still heroic to me, but not for the same reasons as they were as a kid. In other words, like, what really impressed me about them was their willingness to be very open and to be vulnerable and talking about a lot of things in their lives off the field that really humanize them.
Again, our guest right now is Brad Balukjian, who wrote the book The Wax Pack. It'll be released tomorrow. A fascinating story. Let's dive into it, Brad. When you opened up The Wax Pack, tell me the players that you pulled out.
Sure. Well, so I'm kind of a weirdo. As a kid, I liked the guys that were not the stars. So, you know, most people, when they got to Dwight Gooden or Carlton Fisk, who were both in the pack, would be really excited. I was more disappointed because I was more excited by Don Carmen and Steve Yeager and Lee Mazzilli, the guys that were, I mean, these really were the guys that when I was a kid, I always liked those underdog players because I myself identified as an underdog. It's also because I just knew that, you know, when you try to write about people like Carlton Fisk and Doc Gooden, first of all, they might not talk to me, and second of all, how do you write about them in an original way because they've been, you know, chronicled so much?
I'm glad you brought up Steve Yeager. Being a Dodger fan, this was obviously the first name that I noticed on the list. Here's a guy that was a 1981 World Series champ. He was a 1981 World Series MVP, and that happened to be the same time frame where he demanded a trade from the Dodgers. Fascinating guy from a player's perspective. And so Steve Yeager was one of the names that I immediately jumped out at me. What was it like catching up with Steve Yeager, and what were some of the challenges for this particular player?
Well, with Yeager, so, you know, you read the file on him, you can do your research, and it's like, you know, he comes across as this, like, outgoing, kind of cocky guy, like, big party animal. So I'm thinking, like, oh, you know, because when I would approach each player, I would try to get them out of their typical environment and to try to do something fun. Like, I go to the gym with one guy, go to the zoo with someone. So with Yeager, I thought, oh, let's go drinking, like, let's go party, right? So I get there and I bring it up, and he tells me that he hasn't had a drop of alcohol since 1987, which is when he retired, and that ended up being something that was a common theme, where a lot of guys, they got so depressed or so down when they stopped playing that either they started drinking a lot or they stopped drinking completely because they knew that was going to lead them in a bad direction. So that was sort of the first curveball with Yeager. The second one was, again, I expected him to be kind of a little more of the kind of gruff personality and maybe not to let down his guard. But within a few minutes of talking, he was telling me about his relationship with his father and or lack of relationship, and how even though he was really close to his dad was an alcoholic, and the first time he came to watch him play a game in Cincinnati, his dad got so drunk he passed out in the clubhouse, and how much that embarrassed him and really, you know, kind of ruined the relationship he had with his own father. And then it was really touching to see how Yeager has not repeated that same cycle, and that I got to meet one of his sons, Evan, who at the time was a college catcher, just like his dad. And to be able to see how close Yeager is with his son, you know, and how close their relationship is was really touching, considering what the trauma that he had been through with his own father.
Again, our guest right now, Brad Baloukjian, as we talk about his book, The Wax Pack. Fascinating story with Steve Yeager. Can you think of another story, Brad, off the top of your head, maybe one that wasn't exactly... You didn't have much, I guess, expectations for it, but by the time you sat down with this particular player, it turned out to be a pleasant surprise. Did that exist at all on this journey?
Yeah, I mean, plenty of times where guys, I mean, again, one of the things that came up again was how many of them had these troubled relationships with their dads, and how many of them got kind of emotional talking about that. Rick Sutcliffe, Don Carmen, Randy Reddy, several of these guys, you know, had that experience. And I didn't go in knowing that was going to be the case. So it's interesting that would be such a common thread with these guys. And I was, you know, kind of taken off guard by some of that.
What were the difficulties that you encountered in trying to set this up? Once you open up the pack, you pull out your cards, you know who you have to try to track down. I know one player was deceased, if I remember correctly, just from reading the synopsis. So when you pull these cards out and you sit down to try to track these players down, what was the biggest hurdle you had to overcome?
Well, I think initially it's, you know, the fact that I didn't have a book deal, I didn't have an advance, I didn't have a resume in sports writing. I mean, it's not like I could call up and say, hey, you know, I'm Bob Costas, let's sit down. So to me, that's a testament to the fact that most of these guys were so willing to talk and so generous with their time. I mean, that's all about them being appreciative of, you know, their fans and their career. So it was trying to get the chance to talk to them. And then some of the star players, as I mentioned, Carlton Fisk, you know, he wouldn't talk to me. So for Fisk, I had to say, okay, well, what am I going to do? Do I just skip that card entirely? But no, I wanted to write a chapter on each player. So for Fisk, I found out from a source where he golfs in this really private resort in Sarasota, Florida. And I posed as a millionaire prospective home buyer to sneak onto the golf course to try to ambush him. So I went through some pretty extreme rogue tactics to try to get to these guys if they wouldn't talk to me, and I think it makes for some fun reading.
What could go wrong, right? It's pretty simple.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Again, our guest right now, Brad Baluchian. He is the author of The Wax Pack. This book will be released tomorrow. It's going to be a fascinating read. He opened up a pack of baseball cards that were set in 1986, tracked down each of these players. When the book is complete, Brad, and you go back, obviously the journey is something that you can never put on page, right? These are visual thoughts. These are visual experiences, personal experiences that you're going to have forever. At what point in time, or did it ever occur to you, like, man, maybe this isn't worth it?
Well, I think when I was probably in the, after the first leg in California, and I'm driving in Fort Stockton, Texas, and running out of oil, and like I'm, and, you know, eating crappy food, and now I find out, oh, the next guy, Gary Pettis, might not talk to me. I mean, there were those moments where I was like, what am I doing? I mean, I'm going out of pocket thousands of dollars to do this. You know, what if the rest, even though I had a good start, what if these guys don't talk to me? But, you know, I weathered that storm. I always believed in the bigger vision of the project, which was that this really is not just about baseball, but it's about these guys. And it's about their lives, but also the journey, I mean, literally the journey of trying to find them. So I knew even if a guy wouldn't talk to me, I can always, you know, write about that experience of trying to get to the guy, and to be honest about my own feelings of disappointment and, you know, failure and so forth, because I'm very much an active character in the book. So it's unusual. Most sports books aren't like that, you know, where you have the narrator or the author as a character very much in the narrative itself.
Correct. Yeah, that definitely is a new take on it. And I guess I should ask the question, did every player eventually talk to you?
No. So I never got to speak to Dwight Gooden, for example, even though I was literally in his living room looking at all of his you know, the stuff in his house, which I know sounds maybe like, no, I did not break and enter there. I was granted access by his son, but he no-showed our appearance, and so I got very close, but not actually an audience with him. I didn't speak to him. I didn't speak to Vince Coleman. But for him, I went around Jacksonville, Florida, retracing his childhood. And Gary Pettis was actually, he still is the coach for the Astros. And he was basically, all the coaches for the Astros were told not to talk to the media by A.J. Hinch that year. So sort of not really Gary's fault, but wasn't able to speak to him.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why. with all that being said, if you go back over the course of it and you kind of, you know, recollect all the memories that you had with one another, who was the most difficult that you got to speak to?
I think the only guy that was a little guarded was Richie Hebner. And it may be because he was still coaching, actively coaching, so I was catching him in the middle of the season before a game. So, I mean, he strikes me as a guy that, if he lets his guard down, has plenty to say. But I only had limited time with him, and So I didn't feel like I really got, you know, as much into his backstory as I did with other guys.
Once you tell these guys what you're doing, okay, I opened up this wax pack. This is what you were in this particular pack of cards. Now I'm trying to track down everyone. Was the reception from these guys mostly, wow, okay, this is an original, unique idea?
Yeah, they were generally impressed by my willingness to, you know, go to these extremes to drive all over the country to find them. I think they thought it was kind of a clever idea. You know, these guys are not, I mean, they're not overly nostalgic about their careers or having been baseball players. I was sort of surprised that they weren't even necessarily that interested in talking about all that. But I think they appreciated sort of my drive, my gumption to make this thing happen.
Brad, would you do this again? Would you ever consider a sequel, maybe with basketball or football?
No, I get asked that a lot, and I the answer is no, because not that I wouldn't enjoy it, but I just don't think it could ever be as good. You know, I think I certainly hope other people would. I would love other people to go do this, but you know, I mean, maybe outside of The Godfather and Star Wars, are there ever any sequels that are as good?
No, very rarely.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
So, yeah. I mean, there's other things. I mean, I'm generally interested and attracted to topics where I can explore some of these deeper universal themes. And the journey and the quest is certainly an attractive idea, but to do it in this exact same way, I think, would not be wise.
Brad Bellucci, and again, our guest right now is the author of The Wax Pack. This book will be out tomorrow. It'll feature stories with Carlton Fisk, Doc Gooden, Rance Mullenix, Steve Yeager, Gary Templeton, Gary Pettis, Randy Reddy, Don Carmen, Vince Coleman, Rick Sutcliffe, just to name a few. Brad, I definitely appreciate the time. I know you're a very busy man. It's a big day for you tomorrow. Before I let you go, please give all the information about the book and where people can get their copy, be it online or at bookstores.
Sure, thank you. So you can go to waxpackbook.com and get more information. You can get it, as they say, wherever books are sold. You can reach me on Twitter at waxpackbook. Love to talk to people and interact and hear what they think.
Brad, thank you so much for the time. It truly was a pleasure to speak with you. Congratulations on getting this work out, and best of luck in the next few weeks with the sales.
Thanks so much, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Again, Brad Balukjian joining us here on Drive Time Sports. The book will be out tomorrow. It's called The Wax Pack, On the Open Road in Search of Baseball's Afterlife. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to talk baseball movies right after this. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports.